Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Welcome back to another episode of the Vertafore Insurance Podcast. I'm the host, Rick Fox. Today, we have Dana Coates, CEO of United Western Insurance Brokers and one of the founding members of the Alchemy Group. Dana, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I appreciate the invitation, Rick. I'm looking forward to the chat.
And let me kind of set the stage for why I thought Dana would be so good on the show. We've had a couple conversations. He's been around the industry for a long time, spends time talking to agencies, has done a very good job of sort of using technology to his advantage, to their advantage over there at United Western. And I thought it would be a good topic to, or a good conversation and a couple of good topics. So Dana, let's start by just sort of giving the audience a quick, one 2 minute, who is Dana Coates? Where did you come from? How did you end up where you are? Give us your background.
Sure. Well, I was born into the insurance industry. My dad was one of the founders of Ingham Coates and Payne, which started in 1946.
Wow.
I was very privileged to be mentored by Tighe Payne, who was insurance commissioner while Ronald Reagan was governor. And I was very lucky to have been around just sort of rubbing shoulders with those original guys. And like a lot of father and son businesses, I evolved out of that and helped to start a cluster in 1990, I don't remember when, but it was Arroyo Insurance Services.
Okay.
And, that was a really fun time for the insurance business. I started the industry after sort of getting introduced to it. My dad said, you need to get some real training. So I went to the Aetna for a couple of years.
Wow.
In Connecticut.
Okay.
So I guess the point is that I was able to have exposure to some really interesting and powerful insurance people on the agency side. I got some good foundational training on the company side. And eventually, I decided to sort of do my own thing. And that became an evolution of building the business with my wife, Gina, and who is actually the owner of our company. And
let's be clear. Let me just cut you off. Let's be clear. Any of you out there that are married, we all know that regardless of business, regardless of what, the wife is the CEO. Let's just be clear about that right now. Right, Dana?
That is absolutely true. Nothing happens.
And Gina might be listening. So make sure you say that nice and loud.
Absolutely. So with the evolution of insurance, we all need, insurance agencies need to partner with other people because the time of the little agency being able to survive for very much longer is really just the number of years is reducing by the moment,
right.
I think. And
I agree.
And so we all need friends and resources, and we need to combine to do that. That's kind of where I am today.
It goes hand in hand with sort of, I mean, I love the story. I love to hear that. I mean, at the highest levels, the connections that you've had along the way. And you know, what's great about it is to having had it in your family, growing up and now having it be where you still are, that's what speaks to this industry for me. It's that you get in, and there it becomes a part of you. And so again, Dana, thanks for being on the show. Excited about it. So let me jump into what I think is an important topic and something that I think should be very, very, I guess, very important to any agency out there of any size. And you and I had a conversation a week or so ago about the opportunity for agencies to continue to grow and continue to get better at their craft, at what they do. And the point you made to me, which I thought was interesting, and I'd really like you to dig in on it, is that starts at the top level. So you're talking about leadership, you're talking about the agency principal, the agency owner, and maybe an under engagement. That's what we were talking about. And I'd really like you to expand on that. So tell me your thoughts on that, Dana.
Okay. So Rick, the concept that I was talking about is that, there is this lifestyle that seems to exist. As I travel around the country, I think you know that I sit on the board of a users group. Mm-hmm. And so as a technology users group, so I have an opportunity to see agencies all across the country. And it's interesting to see how disengaged the owners of these agencies, a lot of agencies are, and how that trickles down to the rank and file team members. Invariably, we find, one or two people inside of the office are kind of holding everything together, and it's typically not the owner. And that's disturbing to me. You know, it's concerning and disturbing to me. And it's that's really how do we get to those people? How do we stimulate them? And why would they even want to be stimulated? They've got it. They've got everything they want. They've got golf. They've got boats. They've got people taking care of their clients. And so, what's going to happen to those employees and to those clients a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now?
Well, and I think the antithesis of it is, like, I've used this analogy before. I live in whatever town, fill in the town, and someone tells you, crime is on the rise. And the answer is, I live in a pretty good neighborhood. And I think that's kind of the mentality of some of these agency owners. You know, you've got to change. You've got to do things different. Yeah, we're still making money and we're still doing pretty well. I've got a, 90% retention rate, and, we live off referrals or whatever. So what are your thoughts on, I agree. Like, I talk to agency owners all day long, and I see them at shows, or they come up to me, and there are the certain ones, and they seem to be maybe the younger generation that are a little more locked in, a little more ready to continue to grow. But to your point, we have this sort of seasoned contingent that is just really all about just, whatever that might be, that lifestyle that they've created for themselves. Kind of expand on that for me.
Well, you're right. I don't know. A lot of people know a guy named Keith Savino. He's a middle-aged guy, but he's
friend of mine.
So much energy. You know, he's got so much energy, and there's like this buzz. You get near him, and there's this buzz going on around him. And so that's one type of.
I'm not sure Keith actually sleeps. Do you think he sleeps, or is he always doing something?
For sure. But then you get around some other people, and it's like you get up and you try to get closer and closer and closer. You're trying to find the life in them, and it's just not there, So how do we stimulate these people? I don't know. I'm interested in your thoughts about how we get these people to start thinking about the future for their companies, their employees, and their clients. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. So let me give you my thoughts, but I want to bring something up, and I think it's such a great term. You used a term to describe these guys, and I want you to kind of tell me how you got to that term, and then also like what you kind of mean by it, because it could be taken so many different ways, but this older generation, this principal of an agency, you had sort of a name for them.
Well, I do. And it doesn't apply just to the principal. It also applies generally to some of the team members that facilitate this lifestyle. And I call them these old insurance gunslingers. These are the people that, no matter what you say or do, no matter what you put in front of them, they will, you could put really good food right in front of them, and they will turn over to the whatever they're used to, and they will eat it instead. And it's just, it's amazing. And there are a lot of these gunslingers around.
Well, and I think for me, to answer your question that was right before that, which is what, you know, what do we do? How do we engage these people? Well, the first part is there's a certain number of them that I think just we're not going to be able to engage, right? I mean, they're set in their ways.
Yeah, they're going to ride the pony till it dies.
Yep.
And, you know, and that'll be that.
And, but I think there's a layer below that, which is, I know I need to do certain things differently, or I need to change my ways. And I think the solution, this is what I always think, and I'd love to get your opinion on it, is really taking the approach of what is important. Okay. Obviously your business is important. You want this to be a successful thing. You have employees that count on you for their paychecks and their careers. But to me, so it's money. Okay. So for me, the angle is, all right, if you'll just listen for a second and not say, no, that food is, I eat the same food every day, to your analogy of the really good plate of food. If you just take a moment and open your mind to the idea that maybe while you're doing very well, you could be doing even better. We could get a better return on your current business. And at the same time, by using tools, technology, things like that, your staff could be more effective, which then does exactly the same thing I just mentioned, which is makes you more money. If your staff is more efficient, they get more done. Maybe you don't have to hire as quickly. And everything works. So to me, the key to the whole thing is, will you listen? Will you open up your mind and try some new food? What do you think of that?
I think that that's exactly on point. And I think that what I need to realize is that not everybody's going to be able to do that, you know,
right.
Just whatever it is. So we got to focus our energy on the people who are willing to stop for a moment, look, listen, and learn, and work with those people in a way that inspires them and helps them to move forward. And that's why the younger generation is so fun. I love hanging around young people, you know.
Well, but back to your gunslingers, I think there's a layer there where, if you can just, like, if you're listening to this and you can honest, you know, look, if you're driving in your car, look in your rearview mirror, if you're standing in front of, you know, in the bathroom, brushing your teeth, listen to this podcast, look in the mirror and ask yourself this question. Am I one of those gunslingers? Am I one of those guys? And if you are, just take a quick beat and think, okay, what do I have to lose by at least acknowledging that things have changed in the world? Things have changed in my industry, and maybe we haven't changed at that same pace, and I should at least acknowledge that. And if you acknowledge it, then you find, to your point of the small guy needing help, needing resources, you find partners, you find peers, you find groups, associations, networks, aggregators, clusters, you find user groups, to your point of, I know you're part of the board of NetView, which is such a great user group. And there's all kinds of user groups like that. If you're just willing to take that leap, I want us to change gears, because I think the first thing is, okay, one, let's make more money. And the way, and we don't have to do more work. We might be able to do less work and make more money. Okay. The second thing is, like I mentioned before, you have a responsibility to your staff to keep them employed, but also to give them the quality of work life that they deserve. Okay. You do that by taking some of this, by acknowledging some of these changes and predominantly, that's the changes in the industry. It's the changes in the modern consumer. And it's the changes you can make within your agency to make their lives better, more efficient, easier, not busy work, but real insurance work. So talk to me about, you know, you've got the gunslingers. Now let's talk about how the impact is on the staff and the customer when they're hitting those walls at the top level.
Well, first, I want to just thank you for saying what you just said, Rick, because, you know, to all the people that are listening who are, you know, who are strong men and women who have kind of identified with what you were just talking about, who have looked in the rearview mirror and they say, hey, wait a second, maybe that's me. You know, I just encourage all of those people to leave, check the ego at the door, because yeah, our industry is full of big egos.
100%.
And be open to some vulnerability, because with a little bit of vulnerability, whether it's being vulnerable to learning new things or being vulnerable to the changes in our culture and our management and our industry, you know, allow some of that stuff to come in instead of just being really gung-ho on just never changing and just, I got it locked in. So anyway, thanks for saying what you said, Rick. It was really, really meaningful.
Well, thanks, Dana. I appreciate that. Now answer my question.
Now remind me what your question was.
Yeah. So how does it infect the engagement of staff, the interaction with customers when you're hitting that wall at the gunslinger level?
Well, I'll tell you, it causes business to leave. I mean, today there are so many people that are approaching our clients. There are, it's like lawyers, you know, there are a lot of them.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
There are a lot of people in the insurance business, and there's a lot of new technology. And so, an insurance agency that is just staunchly in its history is just not going to be able to retain its clients, its employees, or its carrier relationships for that matter.
That's a good point. Well, and so here's the thing for me is you made a point about, you know, checking your ego at the door. This is an ego heavy industry. I cannot sit here and tell you that I don't fit in that category. I think very highly of myself, and I'm passionate about what I do, and I'm happy that I get to share some of that with others. But I can also tell you this. I enjoy being in a room with people that know things better about something than I do, right? I like to learn. My ego would be that I am very high on myself for the fact that I'm willing to learn from smart people. And that's where I think the wall comes up sometimes, is this,
I don't
have the ability to admit that I might not know everything. Is that fair to say?
Sure. I think that being able to be in a room with people that are smarter than me is one of the most enjoyable things. And you know what? Every single day I do that.
Yeah,
I'm
isn't that
always
great?
Around
isn't that
people that are smarter than me.
Well, yeah. Like you having this conversation, you're out there talking to people all the time. I'm learning from you. I love it. So let me talk. Let me kind of change it a little here, because here's the thing that I talk about. If we're talking about the agency, and you know, go back to my analogy of I live in a pretty good neighborhood, which means, you know, things are right, and we're making it. Let's say our retention is, you know, 91 or 93 or even 95, whatever your retention rates are. If it's not 100%, which I've never met an agency that is, then you could be trying harder or doing better, or using, whether it's technology or a better engagement of your staff or a better understanding of your customer, to always strive for better, right? I mean, if you're sitting there going, well, we're at 92, so we're doing pretty good, and you're, let me just use easy math, we're a $1 million agency, $1 million revenue agency. Okay. That means $80,000 walked out the back door. If you do the math that way. So again, to the gunslinger, to the people that are stuck in their ways, to the people that's instant reaction to, well, technology is expensive, or doing this in an agency is expensive. don't start there. Start with what do I gain from it? And then if there's a gain, how much does it cost? And does the gain outweigh the expense? Is that the way you look at things? So if you're making a decision in your agency about, or, you know, you and your wife are deciding, okay, we want to hire somebody, or we want to implement some new technology, or we want to do X, Y, or Z. What is your thought process on how you get to whether or not it's the right decision? And this would be a good example for those people out there, those gunslingers that are sitting back and going, yeah, we're good. I live in a good neighborhood. I don't want to try new food, whatever the analogy is.
Well, I think that people will be surprised at what I say, but the bottom line is that I expect a 10-time return on every dollar I spend to make the agency move forward. And
hold on,
I
David, stop for 1 second. You want, for every dollar you spend, you want 10x. You want $10 back for the dollar spent.
That's right.
I love it.
So if
that sounds
great. So if I spend $100,000, I got to get $1 million out of it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. But I think I said this to you before. If I said this thing, whatever this might be, and it could be anything, is going to cost you $1 million, but you're going to make 10, you'd write me a check tomorrow, right? I mean, I hope,
absolutely.
I hope you have, or maybe you pay me cash. I don't know how much money you have sitting around. Maybe you got $1 million cash just laying around. I don't know, Dana.
Well, you know, it's absolutely true. If somebody were to present a deal like that to one of these agents that's listening, if you write a check for $1 million, I'll give you $10 million back. I mean, there are agents out there who would just say no. And, most of them would say, yeah, okay, I can, now you got my attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the decision process, it can start at the most rudimentary places within an agency. And what we've done is we've challenged our team members to make sure that they have that argument worked out before they come and ask for any money.
Make a business case, make it make sense to me. And then we'll have a real conversation. And the great part about it, Dana, is you're open to that conversation. That's the piece.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, that's, if you think of, okay, we're all business owners, right? So we've all gone through this process. We're the ones who, you know, built the agency into whatever it is. And so we've got all the scars, but now we have an opportunity to allow those who are following us to go through and scuff their knuckles and get the bruises. We have to just keep our hands off. I mean, it's really interesting. How many people in the leadership role do not allow other people below them, let's say, to fail. I mean, how much education comes from failing? A lot. And
if you ain't losing, you ain't learning.
We believe in letting people fail on the path, on the road to success, you know?
Yeah. And that's such an empowering thing, and it changes the culture of an agency. And I've been in agencies where you walk in and the first thought I have is, there is no way I could be in here all day every day. The vibe is just not okay. And to those gunslingers out there, that it doesn't have to be a gunslinger, but a lot of times it is. Shame on you. That's a responsibility you have to make, not only to make that a good work environment, because regardless of how you built it, now your responsibility is to have, you have 3 employees, you have 100 employees, you have a responsibility to them to affect that culture. Okay. I want to change into a different topic. We sort of touched on it, but I want to really dig in and get your input on it. So the biggest part of that old gunslinger mentality to me is the pace or lack of interest in adopting technology. If you want a 10x return on a dollar spent, that's probably not going to be on a yellow page ad anymore. That's going to be on using technology to do things for you that your staff was spending way too much time doing. If you have somebody who's entering out of their management system or spending so much time documenting files or not being able to bulk print or bulk send things out like certificates, things like that. So talk to me about adopting technology and where the biggest wins are and what people need. Because I've always said this, and I want to say it.
You hear me say it, Dana.
I want someone to write something down from this and go back and start using it. This needs to be a practical win for them that they listen to this podcast with you and I.
Okay. So one of the common denominators of all these agencies that I walk into, and by the way, in our group, in our Alchemy group, which is just growing rapidly and in an exciting way, we have Vertifor users, we have Epic users, Applied users. So, I mean, and I've been on all those systems myself in my own agency. So I have a real sense of how those various products, all the products are essentially the same. And you walk into an insurance agency and you see that the guy is not making use of the tools that he's already got. He's got a full system. It'll do the whole thing. It'll provide the client portal or the CSR 24 services, self-service functions that are so critically important to many clients today.
So true.
And they're sitting there, they don't even know that they have them, and they're not being used. So adoption of technology doesn't just mean you have to spend a lot more money and go buy a new technology system. It generally means that you just need to retool yourself, retrain yourself, get your internal team to become engaged and learn how to use the tools that are already sitting right in front of you.
And I'd add one layer to that, which is when you bring on new employees, is making sure they're learning the system properly and all of the advantages that you have by using the system to its fullest, correct?
Right. Well, can you imagine bringing somebody into your agency and sitting them down at a desk, but not telling them how to use the phone system, how to transfer a call, how to have a conference call? I mean, they'd sit there and they would be crippled because they couldn't do their job in the basics, you know?
Well, and that's what's happening. From the Vertifor side, I only say that because what I know is a day doesn't go by where I don't hear a story where an actual customer of Vertifor, this, and I'm certain this happens at Applied or you name the management system, says, sends a note in on the chat or posts something on a board or calls in and says, when am I going to be able to do X? And the answer
and
is,
they already can.
It's been there for 18 months and you didn't know it. Like, and so, so again, to the agency level, if you feel like you don't, someone or yourself, if you're at a leadership level, doesn't have a full understanding of the capabilities, if you're not leveraging self-service, which right now isn't even like a perk. It's now an expectation of today's consumers, right, Dana? I mean, isn't it?
Well,
like,
it is an expectation, but let me also speak to the agents out there who have been thinking about it, but they're not really sure they'd have a real value for it. Use it as a selling tool if you don't put your clients on it and give them self-service tools, which would help your workflow, which would make your staff happier, which would result in greater ROI to you. But even if you didn't do it for those reasons, do it as a sales tool. Hi, Mr. Prospective Client. One of the things that differentiates us from whoever is that we empower you to issue certificates on the fly from your phone 24/7. Does your current system or agency allow you to do that? And if the answer is no, then as a salesman, just made a huge impression on somebody, you know?
And to your point, they might not ever use it, but it better be there.
Yeah, they may never use it, but in their mind, you have differentiated yourself. But for the people who are in businesses that do use it, like contractors and the entertainment industry and the tech industry, I mean, man, if you don't have it, you are losing. Not going to be able to play in that sandbox.
Well, I think so to kind of just simplify what you've said, I think the first step is make sure that the tools you're using are the right tools, right? I mean, so that means make sure your management system is not adequate, but exceptional. I think there's a break in the groupings of really, really good management systems and then ones that kind of get the job done. All right, that's the first thing. Then it is, maybe you're already there, maybe you think you're already there. It's start utilizing the horsepower that you have at your disposal right now. Agencies are using 25 to 30% of the capabilities of some of these management systems. And then, you know, and then getting on the internet and saying, oh yeah, I wish it did X, Y, and Z, and looking silly because it does. It, you know, yeah. And so whether that's you or you assign someone or, you know, I've got somebody who's been working on that system for 15 years. That doesn't mean they know all of the capabilities. Take a step back, look at what you're doing, and see what capabilities you wish you had that you might already have, and get the training you need to make sure your entire staff is leveraging that. Is that right?
Right.
Is that fair to say? I mean, exactly. That to me seems like the difference.
You said it really well, and I'm going to just add an owner's perspective to that. Why do it? Because once, if you do that and you say, okay, what's my ROI going to be? Well, the return on investment is your staff members having a little more time. Incremental amounts of more time result in a lot more time at the end of the day. I'm going to give you a quick example. We adopted a tool that allowed us to process attaching emails more efficiently than we had been before. We did a little test and we learned that it took us about a minute to attach typical emails with all the, you know, documentation and so forth. And then using this other tool took us about 9 seconds. So what we did is we calculated this process and we extrapolated that we were going to gain an hour a day per employee. If you take that times X number of employees and you convert that to customer care instead of the BS of you know, processing paper or electronic paper, gaining many hours of customer care per day results in a couple of forms of ROI. One, you have happier employees,
right,
which really is the beginning of everything. And then secondly, you have those employees who are highly paid, trained insurance people actually doing insurance.
Go figure, right? Insurance people doing insurance stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I love it.
This whole technology thing that's happening is more about allowing insurance people to do insurance than anything else, in my opinion, from what everything I'm seeing.
Dana, there's this line I always use. I always say operational efficiency, which basically means exactly what you just said. If I like, let me dumb it down. Hi, Mr. Agency Owner. I have a way that you can give an entire hour back to each one of your employees to do more important stuff. Are you interested? That's operational efficiency. The same way you look at it is if you're a growing agency and your solution to growth is keep hiring people. No, take a beat, look at ways that you can efficiently grow and not have to continually be hiring people. Like, use the staff you have. If you gave everybody back an hour and you had 8 employees, that's a whole employee. That's a full day of an employee. Like look at that. So
I want to give you a visual. I want to give you a visual of what you just said. So you say, okay, I want you guys to adopt this new technology, and you know that it's going to result in an hour a day per employee. What about all of a sudden the owner has 8 people, in the example that you used, standing in line saying, okay, boss, what next?
Yeah.
You know, because they're already doing their job.
Think about
that.
So
now what next? Okay. And the what next is, okay, now we're going to cross sell. Now we're going to cross train. Now, I mean, you've got 8 people standing there with their hands out saying, okay, boss, what now?
Isn't that great? Or or the other way, a more negative way, but a way you and I know is real, is those people can't get through their day right now. They are overworked. Yeah. And you give them an hour back, it just instantly changes that culture in the office. It instantly changes the productivity of everyone in the office. And it changes the way they look at the owner, right?
Yeah, right.
I think this has been, Dan, go ahead. You got more?
No, I really, I'd love to talk about culture, because culture is you know, within an organization, especially, I'm not talking about the large organizations, because the large organizations, that's way outside of my area of expertise. But my area of expertise is in the smaller agencies where you've got, you know, less than 100 people, and you've got human beings interacting, and you've got this living, breathing business moving in a direction, and you want that business to be moving in a forward direction.
Yes.
And so culture, the culture of the team, is everything.
Well, and it's just like everything else. If you've got happy employees, they're going to tell their friends, and out of those friends or the other people they know or other people in the industry they meet at a show or a convention, you might get a really good staff, a new staff member out of that, right?
Yeah. Right. But you know what's weird about this is that when you start pulling employees together and have, you know, like little huddles where they're talking about, well, what could make the organization better? And we want to do this, we want to do that. You know, management's got to be ready for some change.
Yes.
Right. I mean, what happens if you say, well, I want to make the place better, and we're going to bring, you know, these committees together to listen to what the organization wants to do, you know, what the employees want to do, and then management says, no, I don't think so. That kind of backfires.
You can be a double whammy, right? Like a double negative.
When you begin to change the culture of an organization, you'd better be ready for some change and a little bit of conflict.
Yeah.
The owners are going to have to give a little bit, and that sometimes requires some vulnerability.
Well, and I think human nature is, it, you know, I guess two ways. Either I just don't like change in general, or if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Take a harder look. It's probably broke. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think, I mean, my biggest takeaway from this, and I get on my soapbox on this all the time, because, man, I just want independent agents to succeed, no matter what the size. You're a three-man shop, you've got 27 employees, you've been growing, and it's a third generation, you got 150, whatever it is, just keep succeeding, keep winning. And to fight that good fight, you have to be willing to take a step back and listen to other people, whether that's someone in your organization or outside your organization. So, like I said before, those guns, there's a certain amount of gunslingers that right now are going, blah, blah, blah. I live in a good neighborhood. I like my meal, whatever it is. But that.
This podcast is not for those guys. Okay?
Parts of it are. This particular one, definitely not. But that group right below them, those are the ones that hopefully this will spark that interest, will intrigue them enough to say, I do want a 10x return. That would be great. I would love for my staff to be more empowered, more efficient, happier at their job. I mean, all of those things, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. We're going to have to circle back around down the road, Dana, because this is really good stuff. I really appreciate it. So I do want to ask you the one final question I always ask our guests, and that is, this next little bit is going to be recorded, put in a time capsule, and buried. It's going to be unburied tomorrow or in a month or in 3 years. And it's Dana Coates' one big piece of advice to the insurance industry.
Well, one big piece of advice to the insurance industry. Oh, yes. Gosh. That's a very broad audience.
It can be as non-broad as you want it to be. You just say what, if someone picked it up, you want them to know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what I would want to share is that technology can be your friend, but it doesn't have to be your only friend. That's it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And you talked about that earlier with groups and friends and resources and things like that. Again, Dana Coates, awesome information, my man. This has been really good. Dana, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate having you.
Thank you, Rick. Take care.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to tune in every week on Thursday mornings. We'll launch another podcast. Please go subscribe right now so that you get more information and know exactly when things are popping up. Tell a friend, put it on social, and by all means, keep sending me notes because I want to know other people that we should have on this podcast. Some of this is really good information. I love sharing it out there, but you got to let me know. It's rfox@vertifor.com. And once again, thanks, Dana. Thanks, Dylan, the producer, and we'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vertifor Insurance Podcast and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertifor.com under the Resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, and if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at vertifor.com.